Let's read together Psalm 79. In this psalm, Asaph laments the destruction of Jerusalem and calls on God to destroy the enemies of Israel. Let's begin by reading the first four verses of this psalm. Psalm 79, beginning with verse 1. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. Your holy temple they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. The dead bodies of your servants they have given as food for the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those who are around us. Let's begin our study of Psalm 79 with some background notes. We see from the title of this psalm that it is another psalm of Asaph. Remember, Asaph was a contemporary of David, and according to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 5, Asaph was appointed to be David's chief music director in connection with the worship of the Lord. However, as we saw in Psalm 74, which is a parallel psalm to Psalm 79, the Asaph who composed these psalms must have been a descendant of the Asaph of David's time, because both Psalms 74 and 79 have to do with the destruction of the temple, which came 400 years after David's time. So we believe that the Asaph who wrote this psalm was a descendant of the Asaph of David's day, and he wrote this psalm soon after the destruction of Jerusalem, including the desecration and burning of the temple by the Babylonian forces under King Nebuchadnezzar. Notice how Asaph seems to be an eyewitness himself of all of these events as he records the devastation and destruction of Jerusalem. Listen as we read the lament of Asaph in verses 1 through 4 once again. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance, your holy temple they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. The dead bodies of your servants they have given as food for the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those who are around us. This sounds very much like the book of Lamentations, doesn't it? I'm reading a few verses from Lamentations chapter 4, which also describe the horrible conditions that followed the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians in 586 BC. I'm reading from Lamentations chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Her nobles were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger, for these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. From Lamentations chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. The people actually practiced cannibalism for survival during the siege of Jerusalem. Let's move now to our doctrinal and teaching points for Psalm 79. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, believers should follow Asaph's example in his lament for Jerusalem. Believers should follow Asaph's example in his lament for Jerusalem. Notice that Asaph did not in any way minimize the problem in his lament. He did not pretend the horrible conditions did not exist, or he did not ignore them, or sweep them under the rug in any way. No, he acknowledged the horrible conditions and brought them before the Lord in prayer. and we should do the same. When God allows us to experience tragic and horrible conditions, for whatever reason, it is not wrong to cry and lament concerning the situation before the Lord. Now, this would apply to personal tragedy as well as community, state, and national calamity that may arise because of natural disaster or human disaster. Bring it before the Lord with all its tragic fallout. The same would apply to the moral and spiritual decline that we see in our churches and culture. We should not minimize the problem in any way, but acknowledge the terrible conditions and voice them before the Lord. Too often, we ignore the reality of the situation or pretend it doesn't exist or try to minimize the truth of the situation with a stiff upper lip. Now, we should not be crybabies, but we should not live in a dream world either. Believers should follow Asaph's example in his lament for Jerusalem. Doctrinal point number two. Believers should follow Asaph's example in his prayer for deliverance. Believers should follow Asaph's example in his prayer for deliverance. Verses 5 through 13. Psalm 79, beginning now with verse 5. How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which has been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you, according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die, and return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. The first thing we want to notice about Asaph's prayer here is that he is not calling on the Lord for the sake of personal revenge. No, he is calling for God's wrath to be poured out on the enemies of the Lord who have dared to attack God's people and destroy the temple, God's holy habitation. Look at verses 6 and 7 once again. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. A second thing we want to notice about Asaph's prayer is that he acknowledges and confesses the nation's sin, which is the root cause of the nation's devastated condition. Look at the beginning of verse 8. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. Verse 8. Now that confession of sin has been made, Asaph moves forward with four solid arguments in his appeal for divine mercy and deliverance of God's people from these terrible conditions. Number one, the compassion of God. The end of verse 8. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. You know, we too can make the same appeal for deliverance because our God is a compassionate God. Number two, the glory of God's own name. Verse 9, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us, and provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. We too can base our prayers for deliverance from any situation on the glory of God being seen and maintained as he delivers his redeemed people. Number three, the vindication of God's people. The vindication of God's people. Verse 10. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which has been shed. In other words, Lord, don't let the enemy get away with this killing and bloodshed. Prove your existence and show them that we are your people by avenging our great loss of life. Romans 12:19 assures us that we can depend on God to take vengeance on our enemies when we are in the right. Romans 12:19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Romans 12:19. And number four, the power of God. Verse 11, let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are appointed to die. That is, Lord, by your power, you can rescue us. And even now, preserve the lives of the prisoners who are facing death. Now let me ask you, did God answer Asaph's prayer? Answer, yes. God in his grace preserved a Jewish remnant in Babylon, where they thrived and later came back to Jerusalem in a miraculous return. Asaph's prayer is a wonderful model for us to follow when we face trials and tribulations. Believers should follow Asaph's example in his prayer for deliverance. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 79? Don't gloat, but rather give glory to God. Don't gloat, but rather give glory to God. Verses 12 and 13, once again. And return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom, their reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Now, verse 12 is imprecation. And thus, Psalm 79 is classified as one of the imprecatory or cursing psalms. Now notice carefully that when Asaph called on God to take sevenfold vengeance on the Babylonians, it was not so that Israel could gloat, but rather so that they could give thanks and praise to the Lord. Everybody notice that? Let's read the verses again. And return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom, their reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord, so that we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. I think you see the point, right? Notice carefully that when Asaph called on God to take sevenfold vengeance on the Babylonians, it was not so that Israel could gloat, but rather so that they could give thanks and praise to the Lord. The God of Israel had been maligned and blasphemed. Now he would be vindicated. In the future tribulation period, when Jerusalem is once again surrounded and attacked by enemy forces, the godly remnant at that time will call upon God in a similar way, not to gloat, but rather to praise God when his righteous name is vindicated. Even now, when we see God act in judgment on those who blaspheme his name and deny his existence and defame his character and blatantly tear down biblical moral standards with an in-your-face attitude, we can praise God for his righteous judgment. Remember, don't gloat, but rather give glory to God.